that thought and you're like, I forgot something? At the very last minute, you realize you forgot something, and that just happened to me a few minutes ago. I had to run across the street. Not much good without my notes, huh? And so I'm trying to calm my breathing down a little bit. We've been talking about having the courage of your convictions, being willing to be courageous and faithful, being bold. And one of the things that I got to thinking about was, you know, I'm talking to my dad about this, and I was always, when I was young, my dad, I think I told you about this, my dad used to do this thing where he would talk to people. He felt like it was his duty to talk to people and share his faith with them, and he would do this thing. We don't do it too much anymore, do door knocking. He would go door knocking. I remember asking my dad about this because he was so, my dad's just not a talkative person. He's kind of to himself, kind of quiet. And I thought, Dad, why do you do that? He said, because if I don't do it, then who else is going to do it? If I don't talk to people about it, well, who else is going to talk to them about it, right? And knowing my dad, I was like, he's such a quiet, shy, like, he just, you know, he's, it's not, well, yeah, he's just scared of people. But the thing is, I was trying to think of a nice way to put it, because he has a habit of surprising me, and he'll go online, and he'll, like, download the sermon. And, but yeah, he'll tell you if you ever talk to him, if you can catch him, he'll tell you. He's just not really into talking to people. But one of the things he told me, he got this job out of a school. He got a job working at IBM. He ended up retiring from there. And one of the things is he was a service technician. He would go out, and his job was to actually go interact and talk to people. And I asked him, I said, you know, he have all these plaques. I've told you about this. He had all these plaques. He was Serviceman of the Year all these years. And he was an exemplary employee. And I asked him, I said, Dad, do you like this job? He said, no. He was like, I love it because it's provided me and provided for you and everything like that. He said, no. He said, if I had it my way, I would just sit here and not talk to anybody. And, you know, sometimes in our walk with God, we can kind of be like that. You know, if we have it our way, we just wouldn't say anything. We wouldn't talk about anything. We would just kind of, you know, keep it to ourselves. And yet, we think about what it means to show God that we love him, what it means to represent Christ. It's incompatible. It's not possible to say, I love God, but you never, ever talk about it. You never bring him up. You never share. You don't even, you know, like, you don't do anything. And so it's easy to just think, well, sometimes we're just, you know, kind of lackadaisical. But when we really get down to it, sometimes we're just afraid. We're just afraid to talk about God. We're afraid to talk about it because sometimes we're afraid of what the outcome might be. And so I want to look at that a little bit today, how to overcome that, what it means to overcome it in that way. Title of the sermon is Leader of the Fan Club. You know, I was thinking about this, you know, it's sports. It's football time for me. So, like, you see this guy? There is no way you can mistake that he's a fan, okay? It's pretty obvious here, right? And this guy, there's several people like this at all the Bengals games. They have season tickets. And this guy, like, his beard, he does this every year. Once the preseason starts, he decorates his beard, right? Got his jersey on. You can't mistake this, right? Same thing with this guy, because he's got two big foam hands, right? He's got the helmet. Like, he obviously is a Bengals fan. I was thinking about it for myself. You don't have to know me very well to know that there's just certain sports teams I care about. And the other ones, it's like, you know, it's a sport. Like, you don't have to know me very long to know I'm a fan. Like, some of you all who are a few years older than me, just a few, but you know these people. Those of you who were fans, you know, I was thinking, who is the one guy? There was a question that was asked one time. I was thinking to myself, who would it be? Who is the one artist, whether they're alive or they've dead, that I would love to go see in concert because I'm such a fan? Like, if I could just hear them play again, right? You know, we see that, like, who is that athlete I would love to meet? Again, some of you guys, see, I saw it, so I'm lip reading. You guys know that's mantle. You don't have to see the full body. You know, it's like everybody knows who that is. If you're a basketball fan, if you say you're a Sixers fan, it's impossible to not know who these two gentlemen are. You know, we have these things, and sports is really easy to identify. Music, you know, this is one of my favorites right here. I did you all solid, you know, gave you somebody who was a Philly and a Red. But that's the thing. When we go to games, we go to sporting events, even if you're kind of subdued and you're quiet, you don't have to say anything. You don't have to know anything about me, because you know what you'll see? You'll see me walking around town in that scarlet and gray. Not today, because they lost last night. It was bad. You know? But the thing is, or you'll see me in some orange and black. You'll see me wearing something. My son asked me last night, he said, he saw this shirt. He said, "Who is Johnny Cash? And what is Folsom Prison?" You know? Because I got this Johnny Cash shirt. Like, I'm a fan. I grew up on Johnny Cash. I grew up on Willie Nelson. It's not something that I feel the need to hide. You know, I put this up here. There you go. Somebody, see, everybody doesn't know what that means. Everybody doesn't understand that. That doesn't have meaning to everybody in here. But for the people who it does, see, immediately, he didn't even say it, and I just read it on Steve's forehead. It just said Roll Tide. It was automatic. He didn't even think, it was just reflexive. See, that's how it should be when it comes to praising God, when it comes to understanding what it means. See, I'm loyal to that fan base because I went to Ohio State, because I'm a Bengals fan. I grew up in Cincinnati. I grew up loving the Reds. I have my players and my teams. Are you a fan of the Most High God? Do you cheer for him? Do you praise him? Do you lift him up as though you're a fan? Let's look at a few passages to talk about this. I was even thinking about how it spills into politics. I thought this was humorous. This is every failed presidential campaign bumper sticker since like 1950. What was it, 56 or something like that. It starts with Nixon and whoever else. See, here's the thing. We're all a fan of something. We're all willing to speak about and talk about and lift something up. But is it your God? Let's look in Ephesians chapter 1. Starting in verse 3, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption and sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the time reaches their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ, that when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." This passage isn't just talking about praise. It isn't just talking about how we praise, but it's giving us a little peek. It's giving us some context as to why we should praise God. Why is it so important that we praise God? See, in context, it may be difficult to understand why somebody roots for Alabama or somebody roots for Cincinnati, of all places, or why somebody would ever want to be a Cowboys fan. Who would do such a thing? In context, that may be difficult for us to understand because some of us say, well, I don't even follow football, or I'm not even really a music fan. I never really got into the Beatles. In context, it may be difficult for you to understand, but see, when it comes to our relationship with God, when it comes to understanding what Christ did for us on the cross, it should be easy for us to put that into context. It should be easy for us to share. We have been chosen. We are identified with them. It's like I'm in the fan club. I'm one of the people. I'm there because God has chosen us. That's why we should praise him. That's why we should be not only willing but excited to praise God. And keep in mind, praising him, just like, you know, being a fan, praising him doesn't necessarily just mean, you know, just here on Sunday. You know, we'll talk about that in a second. But I'm talking about everywhere you go. I'm talking about how you live your life. I'm saying neighbors and friends and coworkers and loved ones who've never set foot in this building should be able to see and know that you praise the one true living God. Just like I'm excited when the Bengals win, just like I'm excited when I get concert tickets to go see somebody, just like I'm excited and I feel like I can't wait to be there, that's exactly how we should be about being in God's presence. And so we have to ask ourselves, well, then, you know, why so reserved? Why so close to the vest? You know, why don't I represent it more? Why don't I shout it out more? Why don't I tell more people? You know, I was thinking about this guy. Many of you may not know who this is. This is a flashpoint moment in my life I will never forget. I was a freshman in high school at St. Xavier High School, and I remember I was out with my grandmother, and we were at Sears. And as I walked by, it was a World Series. 1990, Eric Davis hits a home run for the Cincinnati Reds. I remember it like it just happened because it was a flashpoint for me. You know, like it doesn't matter what Eric Davis did after that. Didn't matter what happened. The Reds won the World Series. They swept the Oakland A's. I was stuck. I was a fan. You know, this one may resonate to some of you because, see, even just seeing the picture, many of you know who it is. You see that and you're like, okay, yeah, that's Carlton Fisk. Now, he lost to the Reds, but that's not the point. The point is people remember these flashpoint moments. They remember it because it mattered to them. You know, some people remember this. Motown, 25th anniversary. Michael Jackson does the moonwalk across the stage. Some of you looking thinking, I missed that. I didn't see it. But some of you remember it, right? How many of you remember this? How many of you remember this as a flashpoint, pivotal moment of your life when your sins were forgiven? When you were no longer just somebody who didn't know what your life was about, what all of this is about. See, for somebody like Taniqua, for somebody like Melissa, it may be a little bit easier to remember because it just happened a week or two ago. But what about you? Because, see, again, I was a freshman in high school. That was 1990. Reds haven't sniffed the World Series since. I still remember it. I also remember the year before in 1989. I remember having that moment where my sins were forgiven. I no longer had to live in shame. I no longer had to live in doubt. I knew who my God was. How many of us remember this point? Because, see, this is a reason to praise God. This is a reason to tell everybody, like the Samaritan woman who went back and told the whole town. Whose town are you telling? Which neighborhood are you going back to tell everybody about the praises and the glory and the magnificence that is your Father in heaven? Deuteronomy chapter 10, starting in verse 12, says, "And now, Israel, What does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your ancestors and loved them, and he chose you, their descendants, above all the nations. As it is today, circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourself were foreigners in Egypt. Fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him and take your oaths in his name. He is the one you praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. Your ancestors who went down into Egypt were 70 in all, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in the sky. Again, putting it in context, seeing what God has done for your life, seeing how God has given you a chance, an opportunity, seeing how God has chosen you to be his ambassador and to represent him, how special that is. You know, he talks about how you started out 70 in all, it says, and now you're as numerous as the stars. But you know, even going back a little further, he talked about, said, being stiff-necked. Said, don't be stiff-necked. You know, when the term stiff neck comes from this idea that they used to talk about when, you know, they're plowing and, you know, when you have a difficult ox, doesn't want to move, doesn't want to turn. What do they say? You're stiff neck. You're stiff neck. You don't want to change direction. You don't want to be moved. You don't want to do it. And so you tighten up your neck. You become difficult to manage. Sometimes when it comes to praising God, we can forget that this passage even exists. He's telling them, after all the things I've done to you, don't allow yourself to get so stiff, to be so rigid that you're unwilling because, you know, I don't want to do anything that is unbecoming a Christian. I don't want to do anything that's outside the way. And so we limit our willingness to praise God for everything he's done for us. We praise God because he's proven himself to be faithful. He's taken care of us even when we haven't done what we're supposed to do, even when we've sinned, even when we've been hard-hearted at times, even when we've been stiff-necked at times, God has shown himself to be faithful. We've talked about this in the past few weeks, how God's people, they were difficult to lead sometimes because they were faithless and because they struggled to believe in God even though he had shown himself to be who he was. Do we praise God like he is somebody who has delivered at every turn? Do we praise God even as much as we praise some of our own, not only just heroes and people that we look at in arts and entertainment and sports? Do we give God the same amount of, if somebody were to walk up to you and talk to you about your mother or your father, many of us will talk about them in glowing terms. We remember everything that our mother or our father did for us. We remember how they worked hard to give things and do things for us. Do we speak about God to people the same way? Even as much as we do our own parents, our own children. It doesn't take much to know I'm a Bengals fan. It doesn't take much to know how proud I am of my children. It doesn't take much. All you got to do is say, hey, how you doing? You have children? Oh, wait till I tell you about it. You know? It doesn't take much. I love them. They are special to me. I speak of them in glowing terms. Now, I'm not just embellishing it. I really, my children are really awesome. But do you talk about God the same way? Do you praise him? I don't mean, again, we're not talking about here at church. I'm talking about when you're out in public, when you're at school, when you're at work, when you're at home, when you're out in the grocery store. Do you give God his praise that he deserves? Does everybody know? Like you're wearing, like I'm wearing my shirt, you know, like I'm wearing my Buckeye shirt or I'm wearing my Bengals shirt. Do you wear it on yourself? You know, this one right here, I find this fascinating because the last week somebody tried to jump in and he got pushed out. He tried to jump into the stands. But like they have this tradition, every time they score a touchdown, they jump up in the stands in Green Bay because people want to be a part of it. They want to touch it, you know. You know, people want to feel like, you know, as fans, they want to feel like they're a part of the game. They want to feel like they've had an opportunity. Sometimes it's a little intimidating, right? This guy doesn't look too comfortable. He's in Camden Indoor. He ain't supposed to be there, right? Sometimes it's not the, you know, it's just not always comfortable when you feel out of place. But the fact is, we want that presence. You know, I thought about it. Some of you say, I don't watch sports. But guess what? If I had told you back in his heyday that you could go on a Price is Right and you could get up there with Bob Barker, you know, because some of you, you know, I know and I'm this way, I'm a little bit of a traditionalist. If somebody said, hey, you know, Drew Carey, you get to be, I'd be like, hey, okay, great. Now, if you had told me I could be under, look here, my grandmother would have personally drove me to the studio. Because Bob Barker, the Price, people get excited. You ever see people come down for the Showcase Showdown? You ever see people, how excited they get? You know, they get up there and they put an item up for biz. And I always said, I can't wait because if I ever get a chance, I'm just going to sit there. I'm just going to lay in the cut and I'm going to say $1. Because it's got to work once, right? You get six items to bid. I'm gonna say $1 every time. Eventually, I'm going to get up there because everybody's going to overbid, right? But you think about it. There are certain shows that you're excited about. If you got a chance to meet that author, got a chance to meet that one person, you would do it. You have that chance all the time with God. Do you tell that story? Psalm 139, starting in verse 1, says, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. See, we're much more than just fans. We're much more than just people looking to get close, looking to just reach out and hopefully get an autograph or shake hands or high five some star, somebody who the world holds up and lifts up. We're much more than that. It says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. We praise God because we're not just a fan. He has taken a personal interest in us. He has made us specially the way that we are. He is worthy of our praise. He should be what we talk about. He should be what it is that we tell people about and tell the story because of how special we are to him. Everything about us, even the troubles, even the problems, even the flaws, even the things that we wish that we didn't have about ourselves, he is worthy of praise because of that. To deny God's praise is to deny our very existence. It is like saying to your mother or your father, you know what? I'm not going to talk about how you made me. I'm not going to talk about where I come from. You know, you think about that, you would say, well, how can somebody do that? And even when it's bad, even when we, because everybody doesn't have great mothers and great fathers, and we can understand that. But God is not the same as our parents. God has given us so much, and we know this. We understand how he's created us. Every last person in here is unique. That's by design. We praise him because of that. You know, I was thinking, what is praiseworthy? What does it mean for something to be praiseworthy? And I was even thinking to myself, like, what does it actually mean to praise? See, everybody has different ideas and thoughts, because some people think, well, you know what? Even if I did go to a football game, I took my dad to a football game, and he saw it, and he got so excited, he didn't know what to do. He didn't know whether to jump. He didn't know whether to clap. He didn't know what to do. And so we were just high-fiving. At one point, we got these seats that were right over the edge of the it was basically, we were kind of high. I didn't have the money to get closer to the field. And it was interesting because I jumped, got so excited that I almost fell over, and it was so great. My dad just kind of reached over. He reminded me of when I was a little kid. He's done that many times where I get so excited, and he has to grab me, right? See, here's the thing. When you're excited about something, when something's worth screaming and shouting and hollering about, nothing can stop you from that. Let Alabama win the national championship and see what Steve does. Steve is the coolest man in the building, I guarantee you. Even if he's not jumping and screaming and hollering, trust me, he'll be wearing something that represents Alabama. He'll have a pin, something. You can't hide that type of excitement. What is praiseworthy to you? And how do you offer up praise? You know, some people, when they pray, you know, they believe that in a very traditional fashion that you should get on your knees, you should fall prostrate, you should lift your hands up, because that's how, in their culture, that's how they were taught that you should pray. You know, we often say, bow with me. You know, you bow. Because it is a sign of reverence that you don't lift your head up to God when you're praying. But when you, see, the question isn't necessarily exactly how you do it. Because so often we can criticize other people for how they do it. Well, this group over here, these people over here, they're doing too much or they're doing the most. And that's not acceptable. That's not orderly. That's not, okay, well then how do you praise God? And do you praise him every day? How do you lift God's name up? Let's look at the last verse today, Luke chapter 9, verse 23 through 26. Because when we think about what it means to lift God's name up and praise him, the emphasis shouldn't necessarily be just on how you do it, or even for that matter, the exact times and situations, but whether or not you're willing. Because if we're all honest about it, everybody's not just looking for decorum and trying to make sure that they do the things the right way and the chairs in the right place. Sometimes it is a matter of courage. Sometimes praising God at its just foundation is a matter of fear on some of our parts. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 through 26 says, "Then he said to them all, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. But whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels.'" We have to really ask ourselves, do we not praise God like we need to and like we should and everywhere we go? And does our life represent God in such a way that everybody knows that our God is worthy of praise? Do we hold that back out of fear? Do we keep that back because we don't want people to judge us, call us fanatics, call us crazy? You know, there's not a whole lot of Cincinnati Bengals fans in Delaware. I don't know if you noticed that. It's like me and five other people, right? And here's the thing. We all know each other because we've seen each other. I've been here long enough where we pass each other. There's one. I know one of them lives right over there on Route 8. They got the big, you know, the thing on their tire, the cover, big Bengals. And, you know, every time I see them driving down the street, it's like, hey, who they, right? It's just a few of us. You know, there's one of them that's at the gym. His name is Ryan, and I work out with him sometimes. We really have nothing. We had nothing to talk about, nothing in common. He just saw me in the gym one day with a Bengals hat on, and next thing you know, we're friends. Like, there's only a few of us. And sometimes we forget that in our Christian walk that there's only a few of us. There's only a few of us. It's not like everybody. Yeah, there's plenty of people out there with bumper stickers, and they say they're fans. But the diehard fans are there, what? Whether you're winning or losing. The diehard fans are giving praise whether or not you're on a winning streak or a losing streak. Do we give God praise or are we ashamed? Shame, like when your team is, you know, playing on Sunday night and they can't win a night game. Do you still say, but you know what? I'm going to stick with them anyway. Do we praise God based on the results and the outcomes? Are we afraid? Are we ashamed? Do we keep it to ourselves because, well, I don't want somebody to judge my life or look at me and think, you know what? He's one of those. He's one of those people that he's a Christian. And they're doubters. And so, hey, I'm going to be a doubter too. I'm going to lose my faith too. I'm going to keep it to myself too. Again, I'm not going into the stadium with my beard painted orange and black, but I'm going to cheer for my team. You may not praise God the way that the next person does, but do you praise him at all? Do people know that you're a fan, that you're a child, that you belong to the one true living God? How would they know? If somebody saw you, how would somebody know that you're a Christian, that you belong to him? In closing, just a few questions I want to ask. Do you praise God? Do I praise God in my daily life? Do I hide behind civility and decorum when I really have shame issues about my faith? Maybe it's I'm not particularly proud of certain things about, maybe it's my church, or maybe it's somebody who's a brother or sister, or maybe it's just my life isn't quite up to where I think it needs to be, so I'm not going to talk about him. Do you praise God in your daily life? Number two, am I aware of the magnitude of God's grace? Do I cheer like someone that has been set free or someone still undercover? You know, there's those undercover people. There's those people who it's like, yeah, I love him and I read my Bible every day and I pray really quietly at home, but I don't want to tell anybody. I don't want anybody to be able to see me on the street and point and say, that's that guy or that's that one lady. And so, again, like, you know, we want to make sure that we're civilized. We want to make sure that nobody can point us out and pick us out in the crowd. You know, I didn't go there, but that was the struggle that Peter had when it came to Jesus being taken to the cross. He didn't want to be identified with the cross. He didn't want to be identified with this man who they were about to crucify. Do we understand the magnitude of what he did on the cross? Do we want to be identified with that? Or are we still undercover? Third question, if God treated you like you represent him to the world, what would people see? Do your praise honor God as the one who you owe your very life to? Or like a team that's only good when they're winning? Do we praise God whether we're winning or losing? Do we lift God up whether or not we're happy or sad? Is it only when God is blessing us and giving us what we feel like we should have and what we want? Or do we still praise him because we know that he created us? Do we still praise him because we know that without him, we would be nothing? And finally, what does real praise look like? How should praise be done in our lives, our culture, and daily walk with God in order for the world to know that we are truly God's children? What should praise look like? Are we afraid of that? What does it look like? What does it look like for you? Because just like everybody else, they can be fans, and I'm not going to judge another man's, you know, fandom. But everybody doesn't cheer and root on their team the same way. And certainly we all don't praise God the same way. But what does it look like? What does it look like for you? How can you praise God more? How can you do a better job of praising him, representing him? What does that look like? Do you know what it is to praise God? Do you even know why you should praise God? Have you ever praised God? Have you ever praised him and lifted him up and thanked him for what it is that he's done for your life? Are you someone who you need to know what this means and what it is because maybe you don't even know what that relationship with God is? Is it time for you to give your life to God so that you can praise him and let others know what your praise is about and what it's worth? If you've never given your life to God, this is the day to do it. This is the time to do it. If you've never accepted him, if you've never said, I am going to be one of Christ's followers, then this is the time to do it. Don't walk away. Don't say, well, I'm not certain, but I've got time. I can wait to another day. Why not today? If you'd like to study the Bible, if you'd like to find out what it means to have this relationship so that you're not just some passing fan, but that you're with him, that you're one of his, please come forward as we stand and sing our song of invitation.